In this series, we have surveyed the following issues of distinction: the existence of God, which would differentiate between almost every religious organization; the identity of God, it distinguishes those between Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, Muslims, Christians, etc.; the identity of Jesus of Nazareth, over which there is a difference between the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians; and the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures, where again there is a difference between the religions of this country and the religions of the world. Another issue of distinction is a good follow-up to the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures, and it is the purpose of baptism. It is truly an issue of distinction. It will separate many different religious beliefs. Some say that the purpose of baptism has nothing to do with salvation at all. Others say that baptism is a vital part in God's plan for saving man. So in this study, we're going to look at the common view of baptism that's held by so many denominations, and we're going to look at what the Scriptures themselves teach about baptism. So let's begin with this question: what difference does it really make? Well, let's begin with the common denominational view about baptism. The baptism, they say, has nothing to do with salvation. This view is expressed by a lot of Baptists, and it is a particularly popular one. Baptist, and we're going to quote here from What Baptists Believe and Why They Believe It by J.G. Bowe. He says, "Baptists believe that no one is subject for baptism till he is already saved." He says, "We believe it is a positive command enjoining upon the believing, saved soul, and is essential to true loving obedience." He goes on to say that Baptists believe that the immersion of a believer is an open declaration to the world that such a one is dead to sin. He says again, "The immersion is a proclamation to the world that we believe in him who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And finally, he says, "It is a proclamation of our belief that Christ arose from the dead." Now, my purpose here is not to single out Baptists. There's a lot of Baptists that are friends and possibly relatives of mine, and not all Baptists would agree with this view that we've just mentioned. But I believe it indicates what most Baptists believe. The purpose of baptism from this perspective simply says that baptism is a public declaration of one's faith in Jesus Christ. It is a command to be obeyed after having received salvation, similar to the Lord's Supper. So they say it is non-essential to salvation. Edward T. Hissox, in 1972, in his paper, The Good News, says, "Is baptism necessary for salvation? I don't beat around the bush about it at all. I come out with a plain, definite no. No, baptism does not save, does not help save, and I'll go even further to say it doesn't have anything to do in this world with the saving of a soul." Is this true? Is the only purpose of baptism of making one their public proclamation about their faith in Jesus? Is baptism really for those who are already saved? I want you to really consider what the Bible says. The Bible's view of baptism. Is baptism a public proclamation or announcement of someone's faith? Let me suggest to you that there is no teaching in the Bible that defines the purpose of baptism that way. An appeal is often made to the example of the baptism of Christ, that Jesus was baptized to be publicly introduced to himself to Israel as the Messiah. and that the purpose of baptism then for the Christian is to serve a similar purpose. In other words, to publicly profess ourselves to the world as a disciple of Jesus. You know, that's an interesting correlation, but one that's made nowhere in the scriptures. If baptism were solely a public proclamation of one's faith, what about the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8? When he asked what might hinder him from being baptized, why wasn't he told to wait to go down to some town or some public place? The fact that he was baptized he and Philip would imply that there is some other purpose for baptism than what this Baptist was telling us in our earlier comments. What about the baptism of the Philippian jailer and his family in Acts 16? The text tells us they were baptized immediately after midnight and before daylight. So they didn't wait. Why didn't Paul tell them to wait until some special baptismal service could be put together and held that was open to the public, or at least to some local church? But you know, both of these examples imply that the purpose of baptism is for some reason other than one's public profession of faith. When I read these texts, there was a sense of urgency in both cases. In every case where baptism is described in detail in the book of Acts, it occurs immediately and after one lesson. So whatever the purpose, it didn't matter whether it was done in a public or private setting. So when we continue looking at the Bible's view of baptism, what does the Bible teach about baptism? When are you baptized into Christ? Let's see what the Bible says. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27 said that when you are baptized into Christ, you put on the Lord Jesus. Paul, in recounting his own baptism, said that his sins were washed away at baptism, Acts 22 and verse 16. Peter, in the great sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and verse 38, said that their sins were remitted or forgiven at the point of baptism. And Paul says that when you're baptized into Christ, you die to sin and are freed from sin, Romans 6 verses 1 through 7. And he also says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 that you are baptized into the body of Christ. Peter says you are saved through the resurrection of Christ as you make an appeal for a good conscience when you're baptized into Christ, 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. And here's some other thoughts. Maybe some, it'll stir up some thoughts in you that are listening. Quotations from George Beasley Murray, a Baptist scholar, wrote a book on baptism in the New Testament. He says, in light of the foregoing exposition of the New Testament representations of baptism, the idea that baptism is a purely symbolic rite must be pronounced not alone unsatisfactory, but out of harmony with the New Testament itself. Admittedly, he says, such a judgment runs counter to the popular tradition of the denomination to which this writer belongs. He goes on and he says, the extent and nature of the grace of the New Testament writers declare to be present in baptism is astonishing for any who come to the study freshly with an open mind. He says, the grace available to man in baptism is said by the New Testament writers to include the following elements. This is George Beasley Murray. He points out that it includes forgiveness of sins, and he cites Acts 2 and verse 38. The cleansing of sins, Acts 22 verse 16 and 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. He says it includes a union with Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. And particularly, a union with him in death and resurrection, Romans 6 and verse 3 and Colossians 2. He says, with all that implies of release from sin's power as well as guilt and the sharing of the risen life of the Redeemer, Romans 6. He said it includes participation in Christ's sonship, Galatians 3. It includes consecration to God, 1 Corinthians 6, and a membership in His church, the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians 3. It includes a possession of the Spirit, Acts 2 and verse 38, 1 Corinthians 6. And therefore, he says, the new life in the Spirit, in other words, regeneration. And he cites Titus 3 and John 3. He said it includes grace to live according to the will of God, Romans 6 and Colossians 3. It includes deliverance from the evil powers that rule this world, Colossians 1. He said it includes the inheritance of the kingdom of God, John chapter 3 and verse 5. And the pledge of the resurrection of the body, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 4. And those are found on pages 263 and 64 of his book. So yes, when one comes to the Bible with an open mind and are willing to consider whatever the Bible says about baptism, they will conclude that George Beasley Murray, what he says, they will agree with him that the idea of baptism is a purely symbolic rite, but it must be pronounced unsatisfactory, according to what people say about baptism. That if you don't follow the New Testament, then it's out of harmony with the New Testament itself. And they will agree with Martin Luther, who answered and to this question says, what gifts or benefits does baptism bestow? And it replied in his small catechism, he said, it affects forgiveness of sins. Also, another writer concerning the sinner, he also wrote concerning the sinner, that is, Martin Luther, through baptism, he is bathed in the blood of Christ and is cleansed from sins. And again he wrote, to put it most simply, the power, effect, benefit, fruit, and purpose of baptism is to save. In his commentary on Romans 6, in verse 3, he wrote, baptism has been instituted that it should lead us to the blessings, that is, of this death, and through such death to eternal life. Therefore, it is necessary that we should be baptized into Jesus Christ and his death. And people that want to disagree with the Bible will have to concur with Augustine, who wrote, referring to the efficacy of baptism, that the salvation of man is affected by baptism. Also, that a person is baptized for the express purpose of being with Christ. With regard to the necessity of baptism, he said it refers to the apostolic tradition by which the churches of Christ maintain it to be an inherent principle, and that without baptism, it is impossible for any man to attain to salvation and everlasting life. So, I'm going to divide this lesson up into two parts. And really, along with this perspective of church history, the Bible clearly teaches that the purpose of baptism is that one relates to the saving of souls. It relates to the saving of your soul, because as one is baptized, they are by God's grace and power united with Christ, and thereby receive all the benefits of his death. So if all of this is true, what are the consequences? What are the ramifications if you don't believe baptism is necessary for salvation? Again, I guess we need to ask the question, does it really make any difference why one is baptized? I want to thank you for being with me today, and we'll continue this lesson next week.